Gotham is quiet once again. Peering from the rooftops, Batwoman surveils her surroundings with expert grace. A sound comes from down below. A disturbance follows. Moon Knight has taken to the scene and has plans of his own for the rest of the night. Batwoman drops down to confront the brightly clad hero. Moon Knight gazes upon her visage and says, "I died once. It wasn't for me." And then leaps into battle against this new foe. It's the expert detective versus the expert detective. It's the Justice Leaguer versus the Secret Avenger. It's Batwoman versus Moon Knight today on Who Would Win.
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gadsby, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Stecanus. Ray, today's matchup is a lesson in pure brutality. I'm not sure we've ever had two characters who like to fight or who like to inflict punishment more than these two.
And I would say that not only does Moon Knight enjoy inflicting punishment, he doesn't have a problem with taking it either. He seems to really enjoy it. I'll get into that later.
He kind of reminds me of you, Ray. You know,
a little bit.
Yeah, not that I've ever seen you fight, but I've seen you at Hometown Buffet.
Yes.
Where, remember last time you and I went, and there was only a little bit of cherry pie left over.
Right.
And we both wanted it, and you said, "No, I need it." And then some other person tried to get it.
That was a bad choice.
You just completely turned into Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Went full blast. And got that last piece of cherry pie.
And
I've never been more impressed or proud of you.
I'm sorry about his face.
It's all like a 4-year-old kid.
Yeah.
But it was a tough one.
Have you seen how tough the kindergartners are right now? Yeah, very tough.
He had a fork in his right hand. He was ready to use it.
Yeah, I hope he finds it, his face again.
Now, speaking of food, this is a great segue into introducing our amazing judge for today's episode. Making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's former singer and someone who Ray and I consider to be the world's most renowned travel writer. It's Kyla Yu. Kyla, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, I want to make sure I did pronounce the name correctly.
Yes. Does it?
Fantastic.
Now,
okay.
We do have an expectation of all judges who come on the show that they have an encyclopedic knowledge of all the characters that we're talking about. I'm messing with you.
Okay, because I've never heard of Moonlight.
Moon Knight.
Man, that's a good start already. Now, good news is we're going to explain who these people are.
Okay.
And you will be able to make a good decision based on our arguments.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So keep going with that vibe of like Moon Knight in your mind not being that significant. All joking aside, Moon Knight's a pretty insane character, and
literally.
Disney Plus is going to have, series.
He's a hero, but he likes to inflict pain.
He's one of those weird anti-heroes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's like the Ray Stecanus of heroes.
And one
you don't want to watch him, but you notice him anyway.
But you find yourself rooting for him anyway.
Absolutely.
One thing I would say is, and to the people at home, now Moon Knight has been one of our most requested characters for the last year. And in fact, when we did the year in review, we said, what kind of characters do you want to see in the year 2020? And I don't think I'm making it up here. We kept getting it over and over and over again. We want to see Moon Knight, a character who will have his own TV show on the Disney Plus for Marvel going forward. So, I mean, he is a character who I think is going to get more run over the next year or two. And he's going to be sort of like 10 years ago, nobody knew who Iron Man was. Right? We'd kind of heard around of that character. We were aware but we didn't know Tony Stark's deal, at least unless you were a hardcore comic book person. I think the same will be true with Moon Knight, and that 5 years from now, I'll be sitting here being like, well, yeah, Moon Knight. Everybody knows that guy.
That's true. You know, I actually love this match for those reasons and for a few other ones. First of all, this is our first all-Jewish matchup.
That's right, yes.
Right, and as someone, you know, who's Jewish and loves all superheroes, but is like, wait a minute, they're Jewish too? That's fantastic. And, you know, I love having Batwoman, amazing character, has a great show on the CW, and she's Jewish. And then we have Moon Knight, another great character, little insane, but also happens to be Jewish. Fantastic.
Wait, did you say Batwoman's Jewish?
She is.
Is that a thing? Really? That's,
yeah,
no.
It's true. Yeah, it was revealed she was in a comic book with her girlfriend, Maggie Sawyer, who's, I believe, a police officer, detective, what have you. They were celebrating Hanukkah. Yeah, and it was really, I just thought that was awesome, which just shows you, even in this day at my age, I love identifying with the characters and how important it is to have characters that people identify on so many different levels.
And I think to that point, the representation matters.
Absolutely.
It just does.
Absolutely. By the way, so Batwoman's a Jewish character, super high-profile member of the Batman family, happens to be, like, the top character who was also a lesbian within DC Comics,
wow.
And they're celebrating her as much as they can. They can always do more.
Right.
About just how great she is. Now she's a mainstay comic book character that everyone loves.
And the TV show as well.
Fantastic.
And just I'm already biased because she's girl power.
Thank you.
And I'll have to fight against that this episode. Thank you.
Good luck, Ray. Now, Kyla, tell us, you went from musician to travel writer. That's a really interesting shift. How did that happen?
Well, we were in the band. We were in this all-girl band, and we had a lot of fun, and then kind of got burnt out from that. So when I quit, I was really lost because I had spent basically so much of my adult life pursuing this one thing, single, like, with singular focus. And so I wandered around, you know, but what we did as a band is that we toured all around the world. So I discovered a love for traveling, and then we would, you know, write about it and blog about it, and then it kind of just happened organically because we had the website, and we were like, okay, well, maybe we just focus on travel more.
So what was the name of the band?
Nylon Pink.
Nylon Pink. Okay, fantastic. And the question I ask people who are within the travel industry, never mind the entertainment side of travel, is always the same. Where do you want to go? What's on your bucket list? Where's that place that to you is, I would drop everything if I could go there?
I want to go to Kenya to the Giraffe Hotel. I don't know, Giraffe Mansion? Have you
Either
seen
or.
It?
I have seen it.
Yeah.
Wait, are there giraffes there?
There are giraffes. And
I'm in.
They come, like, you eat your tea, and they poke their heads in the window.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So it's like my house when I'm having breakfast, and then Ray just kind of pops his head in through the window, and I'm like,
look, you didn't know I could elongate my neck like that.
I didn't. It was impressive.
You're a superhero.
Yeah,
totally.
Food,
and then my wife's freaked out, and I'm like, just give him a little bit of food. He'll go away soon. Yeah, just anyway. But that's fantastic. So Kenya at the Giraffe Hotel, is that where you would go for like a week, a month? How long would you go for?
Probably for a week. I mean, just, you know, a day or two for the hotel and then just to explore. I love animals, so safaris and just exploring, like, such an untouched wilderness.
Okay, so now I'm going to really ask you a very potentially loaded question. What airline would you take?
Oh, my bucket list airline is the Singapore Suites.
Okay, I've heard about that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm all about point tacking and all of that. But the Singapore Suites are really hard to hack because there's very little availability. So basically, if you haven't heard of them, it's an entire room to yourself with, like, butler service on first class on Singapore Air, which is an amazing airline even for economy.
So would you take that over a private jet?
Well, I've never been on a jet,
what?
So I don't know. I don't know what that's even like. I mean, I just really love being on a plane because you get your own little section. On a jet, you're still, like, out in the open.
That's
true. I guess you could have a bedroom if you were, like...
Yeah, but the whole thing would be for you, too,
okay,
right?
So you'd have just extended... me.
Just you. Let me rephrase that.
I'm imagining me and a bunch of people for some reason.
They're not good enough to be on that plane with you.
Me.
Let's just go there. Yeah, it would be just you and your entourage, so closest, you know, people.
Yeah, I mean, that would be better, actually.
Okay. I'm just saying that because, you know, we've had some really interesting advertisers, sponsors, businesses reach out to us, and now we know, like, Haley, you would like to have a private jet to Kenya to go to the Giraffe Hotel.
You know, for the record, I would also like that. Just if anybody's listening and this is just a thing we're doing, I would also appreciate that very much.
All right, so it is time to get on with the show. We've got to be really careful. You know, we already try to keep this rated PG-13 at most. These two characters, just to warn you, are very brutal. So we
get
will
real.
Do our best.
Yeah.
That's
I like
right.
Game of Thrones. I like that
there you go.
Violence.
It's exactly. Cool. All right, so go ahead and do us the honor to introduce today's matchup.
Representing the DC Universe, the biggest Kane since the Big Red Machine, Batwoman. And representing the Marvel Universe, the man with so many personalities, it's a wonder that one of them isn't Shirley MacLaine, Moon Knight.
All right, well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the official rules of a Who Would Win match. Rule number one, each debater will be able to make 3 points. Rule number two, the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with neither combatant necessarily knowing anything about their opponent or having any time to prepare for it. Rule number three, the exact version of the character has to be specifically stated. So, for example, you could have a movie version, an animated version, a comic book version. Ray, which version of Moon Knight would you like to use?
I'll be using the Marvel Comics version of Moon Knight. I'm going to try to stick as much as possible to the more modern Moon Knight, because as far as when I started to research this fantastic character, he's all over the place. There is no consistency with his storytelling whatsoever, in that it gets real. He goes from completely nonviolent to super hyperviolent to, for a while, he was injured and was just dealing with that over a period of time. So I'm going to try to stick to the modern version of Moon Knight as much as possible. I might dip a little further backwards by accident, but that's what I'm attempting.
I think that's the perfect version to use, by the way. And I'll also be using the modern era version of Batwoman from comic books. Equally great character. She hasn't been around at nearly as long as Moon Knight, but the amount of time she has been around, she's done a lot. All right, cool. Rule number 4, the winner of the Who Would Win debate is whomever the judge decides has the best ability to incapacitate their opponent to the degree where they can safely walk away with no further threat being present. This includes completely destroying their opponent, removing them from the field of battle, restraining them, or knocking them out. The Who Would Win battles are not necessarily death matches. All right, rule number 5, the judge can disallow or veto a point made by one of the debaters if they feel it goes outside of the scope of the battle or is irrelevant to the fight. Rule number 6, each debater must use examples of powers, abilities, or weapons that are part of the specific character's continuity or at least was with that character for a good deal of time. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Today's tale of the tape is brought to you by Who Would Win t-shirts. Accept no imitations. Find the official Who Would Win shirts on Amazon by typing in hashtag Who Would Win. Ray, please give us the details on Moon Knight.
Moon Knight is a classic anti-hero who first appeared in the comic Werewolf by Night number 32 in 1975. Moon Knight was created by Doug Mensch and Don Perlin as a lunar-based hero with a fractured personality. Mark Spector is a hero who suffers from multiple personality disorder and is very inconsistent in the telling of his stories. His powers originate from his work on an ancient Egyptian burial ground belonging to the god Khonshu. Having been killed in duty near the statue, the ancient god he had been brought to offered Mark a chance to live on as his avatar, a chance that he took, becoming the character of Moon Knight. Now, Moon Knight is also a top-tier martial artist who utilizes all manner of current tech as well as arcane objects to fight crime out in the world today. Fun fact, Moon Knight has had 2 attempts to be brought to the world of TV, and both have failed. Most notably, the short-lived Blade the Series dropped the name Mark Spector as a character that was going to be coming down the road, but then the show got canceled before the character ever had a chance to appear. Here's hoping that the newly planned Disney Plus show, Moon Knight, has a better future ahead than Blade did. That is Moon Knight.
All right, well done. Here are the details for Batwoman. Now, Batwoman, also known as Kate Kane, was created by Geoff Johns, Grant Morrison, Greg Rucka, Mark Waid, and Ken Lashley, and first appeared in the DC Comics series 52 Weeks, issue number 7 in 2006. After a night out in the town of Gotham, Kate encounters Batman for the first time as he comes to her supposed rescue from what is seemingly a mugger. Arriving on the scene, Batman sees that Kate fought off the mugger and leaves. Despite not needing Batman's help, she's nevertheless inspired by him and sees what she can become and the good she can do in the world. Kate decides on a vigilante role for herself and begins fighting crime using military body armor and weaponry stolen from her father's military base. She operates for close to a year before her father finds out, and after being confronted by him, Kate accepts his offer for assistance and begins an intense 2 years of training across the globe with some of her father's friends from the special operations community. Upon returning to Gotham, Kate discovers that her father has created a bat suit for her, along with an arsenal of experimental weaponry based on Batman's known gadgetry and a bunker hidden in the panic room in Kate's apartment. And here's an interesting fact about Batwoman. Did you know that Batwoman's design was initially created for a darker and evil animated version of Batgirl? It's true. According to Alex Ross, Paul Dini asked him to design a darker version of Barbara Gordon for animation. He wanted Alex to design evil Barbara who cured her paralysis, because remember, she used to be in a wheelchair and, it's called Oracle. Alex wanted to have her paralysis cured by this evil person named Ra's al Ghul, and when she got resurrected, she had a little evil thing going on, and as a side effect, she had a better, darker version of the costume. Well, that storyline never came to be, so as a result, they took that same costume and gave that to the character of Batwoman. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Kayla, do you have any questions before we get started?
So does Batwoman have any relation to Batgirl?
So there's the Bat family, which is just a whole bunch of people within the inner circle of Batman's circle, so to speak. Batwoman is one of the newer people, though she came in around 2006, where she took on the uniform and the symbol, but was not actually someone who was created through Batman himself. It wasn't like how Robin became Robin.
Batman creates people.
Well, he'll take them in and help guide them towards a certain thing, or they'll assume that identity. So she actually took it upon herself, put on the bat symbol herself, and Batman said, "You know, I from watching you from afar, I absolutely endorse you as part of our group." And what was really cool is Batwoman said, "Cool, I never needed your endorsement in the first place." So, yeah, really great character. Do you have any questions before we get started on anything else?
Not at the moment. I'm sure I will have many.
Oh, right. Good.
Very cool. All right, Ray, starts off with point number one.
Point number one with Moon Knight. I just want to talk about some of the basics of Moon Knight, explain who this character is, where he's coming from, and potentially where he's hopefully going. So Moon Knight was originally a heavyweight boxer. His name was Mark Spector, and he was born of a rabbi. And so that's how we know that he's Jewish. I mean, that's right there. He was a heavyweight boxer coming out of school where he fought for a while before enlisting and joining the U.S. Marines. So he has a full spate of U.S. Marine Corps training, which is some of the goodest, that's a good word, some of the best training that you can get as far as the military and armed forces go in this country. So after he finished his stints with the U.S. Marines, he actually joined the CIA and then got on top of the boxing training of being a heavyweight boxer, I believe semi-professionally, if not professionally, as well as the Marine training. He then got CIA training, where he was a mercenary. That's how he ended up in Egypt in the first place, where they were, you know, taken over by the bad guys and then killed. And then so now where we are with Moon Knight today is that he's a very, very accomplished martial artist, part due to all this heavy training that he's done. But also he has these powers from the god Khonshu. He's essentially the avatar of an Egyptian god who said, "I will imbue you with some of my power if you will go on and kind of carry my name forward." So Batwoman, as I know, is a Bat family member, which means no superpowers. And generally speaking, when you have two characters who both are well-trained and they both got good gadgetry, which is both these characters are, one has superpowers and one does not, you gotta kind of lean towards the person who has the superpowers. As much as I love Batwoman, and I think Batwoman is a fantastic character, and I could not be more excited to see her getting her due with this TV show that's come out. And I hurrah for Batwoman, absolutely. But I think Moon Knight absolutely takes this fight. So a couple of the things that he can do. He can dodge bullets. People shoot at him and he just gets out of the way, no problem. People shot a rocket at him, a rocket coming at him at what we would call rocket speed. He was able to dodge all around the rocket and make sure that it did not hit him. As another thing that he can do is when he's fighting large groups of people, so he normally fights like 10 guys at a time. A one-on-one confrontation should be no big deal for Moon Knight. And one of the things that he did that I thought was super impressive is his knowledge of the human body. Is in the course of the fight, he decided he didn't want to kill these people during this particular iteration of Moon Knight, which is not that long ago. He decided to hit certain nerve points and certain spots on their body to incapacitate them, sort of like the Vulcan neck pinch from Star Trek, if you're familiar with this. He essentially went around the thing fighting everybody, gave them all these kind of nerve damage shots, very specifically targeted, to take them all out of the battle at the same time to prevent killing any of them, which I thought was a really cool thing to do. The character himself said, "Boy, I wish I could have done more. I feel like I left a little meat on this bone, a little bit of fight in this fight. But I'm trying really hard not to kill people right now, and I'm going to go ahead and do so." But just the skill that it would take for 10 mercenary combatants to go in and knock them all out with nerve punches is pretty fantastic. The other thing I wanted to mention is he had a fight against Shadowland Daredevil. Daredevil, the famed Marvel Comics character, again, martial artist, I say akin to Batwoman as far as abilities go. The blind guy who uses echolocation to fight. I love Daredevil. But he was able to fight the Shadowland version, so this is an enhanced, buffed-up version of Daredevil, and was able to get out of the way of a lot of his attacks, even some of the ones that he did not know were coming. So anything that Batwoman is going to throw at him as far as like combat goes, I have to believe that Moon Knight is just bringing too much to the table to really get hit. And if he gets hit, which a point I'll get to later, is he doesn't mind it so much. But we'll let that go to point number two. That's all I have to say about point number one.
That's a really tough one, Magic.
Mm-hmm. That's true, but he's magically fueled. He's not like throwing out magic.
He doesn't cast magic, but he's imbued with magical energy.
Right. Yes. So, like, his steroids are magically based, as opposed to, like, no, and that's important, too, because that means, like, there are other characters that have chemically enhanced bodies or what have you, and you can actually attack that. You can't actually attack that on Moon Knight because it's magically based.
There it is.
It's actually, there's a strength and, you know, weakness and everything. Okay. Let me ask you a question, Ray. Has Batwoman ever beaten an opponent with really crazy superpowers before?
I'm going to assume yes, because you're asking the question. If I sat here and said no, you'd be doing a terrible job.
Correct. So here's the deal. Batwoman is actually trained through Batman and everything because you got to think of the world they live in. It's not like, hey, we've got to take out muggers and, you know, serial killers. Of course they do. Batman actually is rated in DC Comics by, like, there's this organization that, you know, kind of says, okay, what level of threat does this superpowered character have? And there's varying levels. And they know Batman has no superpowers, but they have him at the highest threat level because of what he's capable of doing. By the way, they also bring the Bat family along for the ride on that. So she is someone, though, although may not have superpowers, she does have the ability to deal with it. That's her training. And beyond her training, it's her tech. And I'm actually going to argue that her tech, although Moon Knight has really cool weaponry and all that kind of cool scientific stuff at his disposal, Batwoman does too, but she has a lot more that she knows how to use a lot better.
Well, do you want to just get into that right now?
Absolutely, I do. Thank you.
You sound like you're ready for it. I don't want to stop you.
I do. So let's talk tech. Okay.
So this is still point one.
This is point number
James
one.
James, point number one.
That's right. Okay. Let's talk about tech and then training after that. So let's talk tech first. Just like every member of the Bat family, Batwoman has amazing tech and gadgetry. She's got a lot of similar stuff to what Batman has, but also a lot more, sometimes way more vicious stuff. So in terms of standard weaponry, Batwoman has a gas mask, tear gas, flak jackets, a pistol that shoots pepper gas, a freeze spray, thermal imager, mini bombs, a grappling hook, and batarangs, all the cool stuff Batman has. She's also got self-propelled throwing darts, taser gloves, mini rockets, flashbangs. This is my favorite one. It's a python coil, which is a razor-sharp cable that tightens around someone and cuts into a victim if they struggle. This is her brutality. And by the way, when she uses this, she does it from a distance and watches the person struggle and kind of dares them to get out of this, right? We're not dealing with someone who's like just a regular member of the Bat family who's trying to accomplish something. She does so with style, and her style is called brutality, right? So I'll get into that later. She also has an electroshock coil, fear toxin spray canisters in her gloves that she can shoot out, various types of smoke bombs. Her cape is weighted and has sharpened edges, so she can use that as a weapon. This is someone who is beyond just resourceful. It's not just like, hey, look at my uniform. Look how cool this Bat Woman thing is. No, no, no. Everything is usable and has a purpose. Her cowl or helmet that she wears has infrared capability, flashbang protection, and hypnosis shielding, because I guess that's a thing that happens a lot. And what makes this really in favor of Batwoman is that, unlike Moon Knight, she doesn't use one item at a time, okay? And again, you're really understanding the depth of geekiness that Ray and I go to here, okay? And again, I joke about this. Our wives are, you know, both impressed, and that's a lie. They're actually not impressed at all that we spend so much time doing this. So here's the deal. Batwoman's got a mastery over all of her weapons, but she has mastery over using a number of items in succession when necessary. So she looks at her weapons as a formula, right? So maybe I have to tie you up with this python coil, and as you're fighting out of it, I've got to hit you with this poison gas, and then from afar, I've got to shock you with this electric shock, taser, whatever. She has this, and she's a master at using not just all of her weapons, but all the combinations of her weapons, whichever way she wants, okay? Now, one of the things is, you say, like, Batwoman doesn't have superpowers, but she has superpower-level ability. How many superpowered villains or heroes can have something that tightens and cuts them, like a python coil, or shocks them with an electric shock, or can knock them out with fear or gas or what have you? She's got all
fear
that.
Fear machine's kind of like magic, right?
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. So, see, Ray? There you go. Okay, cool. Now, with that being said, the reason why she has to have all of this weaponry and use it differently than Batman is because she wants to distinguish herself, not because she says, I want to stand out from everyone, but because she has her own mission that is very often completely separate, different, and at odds with Batman and the rest of what the Bat family are trying to do. She says, look, if we can align what we're trying to do, that's cool, but if we don't, that's fine too. Just don't get in my way. So she's a very different type of Bat character that we haven't seen before that doesn't necessarily fall into line. And because she has that symbol, she's like, I've got to keep up the status of Batman and the legend of Batman, but also forge my own path. That's my point number one.
And there's a lot of good stuff in there. No, you go right ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I guess the question was, why didn't she come up with her own character instead of...
The reasoning is because she knew when she saw Batman, she was at a point in her life where she had been recently kicked out of the military for having a relationship with another woman. And the military branch she was in was saying, no, no, you've got to disavow that and just deny it. And she said, I'm not. No way. So she gets kicked out. Her whole life gets turned upside down. She was a lifelong soldier. She was, you know, Army cadet, went to West Point, was the top 5% of her class in every category. And now all of a sudden, just like how you were saying for once you stop your music career, and you're like, okay, what do I do now? She was at that point. When she saw what Batman did and what he stood for, even though she didn't need him during the mugging, she said, you know what? That's an example of what someone someone is doing with their life to try to do good in the world. So she took on that symbol. Not the Batman legend, but the symbol for herself.
I hear what you're coming from. She's very uncreative, is what you're trying to say. Oh, there's a guy doing this bat thing? I'm just going to do that as well. I'll just be the woman version of that. I appreciate where you're coming from. Originality counts, James.
It does, it
does. Moon Knight didn't rip anybody off.
No, not at all. Moon Knight is not never compared to Batman.
Very original character, thank you.
Every week.
Ever.
Every day.
Thank you.
Okay, that's my point number one. What would you say to that, Ray?
You know, I mean, you said a lot of good stuff in there, and a lot of stuff... There's hard to push back. I mean, the whole point with Batwoman is she has no powers. I might mention that 50 more times before we're done here. But she has to, as a character, fight people who do have powers 100% of the time. Now, is she 100% successful and win every single matchup, especially the first time she runs across somebody in a chance encounter, much like this battle posits? No, not necessarily. I mean, one thing we learned about all members of the Bat family and Batman and Nightwing and all the crowd from there is they need preparation time. You give Batman 2 weeks and he can bring you the moon on a silver platter. More the Moon Knight on a silver platter, for that matter. But this battle posits that it is a chance encounter, that they do not know each other walking in the door, and they have to figure it out as they go along. And to that end, I would say Batwoman, probably just like any other member of the Bat family, is at a disadvantage because they rely so much on preparation to come into battles.
What do you have to say about this point?
Well, I'm curious, because you said she has a formula of the different weaponry. Does she have to plan that in advance, or does she know her instruments so well that she could be like, okay, rope, fear,
sure.
gas?
Sure. I like how you're focusing on the fear gas, because I'm also thinking that would be a good thing just to have.
Yeah.
Right?
Just in general, it'd be nice if I was like getting a parking ticket, and now I don't have a parking ticket anymore.
Absolutely.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. That's parking tickets, exactly.
True story. That just happened to me. So.
Sure. So here's the thing. The answer is that she is the most effective, in my opinion, when she has time to plan. With that being said, the Batman training is chronicled very clearly as enabling someone to be as resourceful as possible as on the fly, especially with the equipment they have. They go through nonstop training to be able to use any of their equipment in any combination necessary for that. And that's what, and Batman, look, his prep time, he's legendary, known for that, but it's his resourcefulness in the moment that's also legendary. Batwoman has at least that level, maybe a little bit more. And the reason why I'm going to say, well, you know what? I'll save that reason why.
You're going to get a new feature point. I actually appreciate where you're coming from there. What I would just say is the preparation time, because she can't bring every piece of equipment with her every time. The preparation is when she would know when to bring what equipment for what battle. So we kind of have to assume that it's sort of a random assortment of whatever she happened to have at the moment. So she might not have everything that she might want for
would
this battle.
Would she have nothing on her?
She would have something.
She's got a lot. I would say she'd have at least the majority of what we listed.
Okay, that's a lot to
carry. Sure, James. Yeah, I don't believe him. He's lying right now.
Really? Batman doesn't have all of that stuff on him at all times. It's not just utility belt. He's stuffed all over his body, all over compartments.
If Batman was able to have everything, he wouldn't need that giant bat cave to store all his stuff in. And he wouldn't need 2 weeks to prepare. He would just have everything every time. What I would say is she'd have some of it, just not all of it.
I'd agree with that. I agree with that.
Now, you said she got her equipment from her dad? Or because Batman has a guy.
Right, Alfred?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. So she had a lot of standard equipment that was military-based. And then she started fighting crime. And then her father, who was a big-time soldier and person of war and what have you, said, I recognize what you're doing. You need more. Not just equipment, but also training. So that's when she went on her 2 years of training on top of her already impressive background. And then her father said, by the way, here's all this new stuff for you.
Okay,
and
so
then created
that. Her dad is her Alfred.
Right. Exactly.
That's fair.
That's good.
Well, you guys are ready. I'll go on to point number two because it's so weird how these minds think, because I knew you'd be talking about the gear at some point. I will be talking about Moon Knight's gear as a possible follow-up to what you just said. Now, first of all, let's talk about the armor, because he wears some pretty fantastic armor. You know, in the Marvel Universe, there's an element called adamantium, and adamantium is the strongest thing in the entire universe. That's what Captain America's shield is made of, and you can deflect things, and you can block things all the time with adamantium. Now, Moon Knight takes that actually one step further. He has armor made of carbonadium. And they have described carbonadium as being as powerful as adamantium, however more flexible, so you can move better in it. So any kind of a character can walk around with this adamantium armor. You know, Wolverine's claws are made of that. And like I said, Captain America's shield. So any kind of shots that he's going to take from Batwoman are going to be easily taken in by this armor. Now, one of the cool things about it is his armor is taking a super-powered individual, a character with super strength and speed and endurance and all that, and then you put him kind of in power armor as a result. So now you've got a very, very powerful character wearing wearing very, very powerful armor. There's a really fantastic moment that happens when a building that he's in is coming down. And he's trying to hold the building up by just holding up an archway of a door. And one of the fun things that happened, because this character is crazy, is he's holding up the building from coming down. He's like, but I have to go fight these bad guys. What do I do? So he pops himself out of the armor in his underwear, leaves the armor there, which is powerful and strong enough to hold up the building by itself, and then gets out in his underwear and beats up like 10 guys while wearing nothing but his tidy whities. So this is the type of character that we're talking about. That's resourcefulness right there. And that also just demonstrates how strong he is. Here's a character with super strength that also has armor that also is capable of holding up a building. Like, that's absolutely fantastic. And that's a level of strength that Batwoman cannot compete with on her own. Couple other things is he carries with him a grappling hook. The Bat family's known for their grappling hooks, so they can fly in the air. But on top of the grappling hook, which I just thought was kind of cool, is he has crescent darts. And crescent darts are little moon-shaped, like, crescents that he can throw, like, they're, like, throwing stars.
Like batarangs.
Like batarangs, for example. But he also did a really neat thing when he was hanging out with Spider-Man. We all know Spider-Man. He likes to web swing through the city. He actually attached ropes or something to the end of these crescent darts and was using them to swing through the city like Spider-Man. He said, Spider-Man, we gotta get over there, see if you can keep up, and then just whip, and he was gone. Spider was like, oh, apparently he can swing through the city now. Cool. So as far as like moving and traversal goes, I think he also has an advantage over Batwoman if this fight kind of takes us to a bunch of varying locations. Additionally, he has what's really known as best as truncheon, which can, it's sort of like a stick that he can throw and hit people with and have it bounce back to him. But additionally to that, and where I think it's very, very handy against a tech-based character like Batwoman, is there's something called a counterpulse. And you're familiar with an EMP? It's an electrical pulse that disables electronics. He also has the ability inside and outside of his cowl, of his helmet, basically, to shoot out frequencies. So he can jam frequencies and automatically attuning to what those frequencies are. He doesn't need to figure it out ahead of time. He can just say, oh, there's some sort of transmission thing happening over here. And he's used that ability on multiple occasions to knock down communication devices. But also if Batwoman is trying to remote control something, he can jam that and make sure that she cannot follow through and do that with whatever device that she has. And a lot of Bat devices are like, you know, remote controlled batarangs that can go around corners and whatnot.
What about the fear device?
I will get into that a little bit in point number three. But absolutely, the fear device that I don't think she uses all the time. I honestly, that's not a thing that she leans on. So it's interesting to know that she may have it. But Moon Knight has multiple personality disorder. And that we'll get into that in point number three, because I'm going to be leaning on that quite a bit. The other things, that last thing I want to talk about as far as gear goes, is that he has vehicles. And no doubt Batwoman has vehicles as well. But Moon Knight has the Moon Copter, which he can use. He also has the Moonmobile. Stop me if you've heard any of this
not
before.
Not very cool name somehow.
No,
it's not the same ring as the Batmobile.
Yeah, it's like the Race to Canis naming convention of vehicles. This is like I came in the Race to Canis mobile.
Literally come in that mobile. Yeah. The coolest one that he has, though, is called the Angel Wing. And that's sort of a remote-controlled glider. And he uses that to get around the city all over the place. But the coolest thing about the remote-controlled glider is it's got weapons on it. It's got cannons and machine guns and rocket launchers. And it can shoot people. But he can also control that via remote control himself. So one of the things that he can do is be fighting in the battle. But at the same time, if he gets pinned down, if he knocks her down, if they're a distance apart from each other, he has access to this flying glider, which he can make target her and either shoot down at her, which he's done before, or literally just crash into her. He will crash it onto people to win battles. That is a thing he has done with success before, and it made me laugh so hard to just kind of see, like, okay, we're going to fight, we're going to do this. And he's like, sure, whoop, and then the thing just crashes down into the guy, and the battle's over. That is legitimately something that I don't think Batwoman necessarily has a counter for. It's a very large vehicle, and dropping onto her with great speed, I just don't know that she necessarily can get out of the way, especially as she's fighting Moon Knight at the time. And not to mention the last thing is that he also has arcane artifacts as well. And you talk about the magic and the magic base of his powers. He also, because he's got this sort of Egypt thing going about him, is he has ancient artifacts that he can use. And I can't really point to any specifics because it's sort of just like whatever he needed at the moment. He just has an arcane artifact that happens to do something that helped him on that battle. And it's just a thing that we might not know exactly what it is, but if there is a chance that an arcane item would help him, he probably has it because he's Moon Knight and that's how he's written. And that is my point number two.
Okay, so I'm obsessed with this fear machine.
Go on.
If she used it on Moon Knight, would he just run away and be scared? Like, is that how it works?
I would say for a lot of characters, if she was to use the Scarecrow Fear Grit gas, it's somebody else's power that she's just co-opted.
Okay.
Much like the name, Batwoman. She just co-opts her stuff. Scarecrow is a character who's very fear-based, and he has a gas and it sprays you, and you see the thing that you're afraid of. And a lot of people would be hit by that, and most normal people would just run away or cry or be in fear. Moon Knight is a different kind of character, and I'll get into a little bit in my point number three because I'm kind of sandbagging a little bit and saving because some of his craziness about him. He's not the kind of character I think that would be deeply affected by the fear gas compared to maybe a lot of other characters out there. He's a person who is himself scary. And
well,
he will fight through fear.
Because I didn't know that you would see your fear. I thought you would just feel fear, like that you would just feel
it. It's a little bit of all of the above.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to get into that a little bit, and I'm glad you're kind of seeing that. But I have a couple of things. Number one, Batwoman's also a really well-accomplished gymnast, and she specialized in that. She knows how to move exceptionally well. She's got the grappling hook, so I'd say, can Moon Knight be very agile for someone his size? He's surprisingly agile. You know, it'd be like watching like Ray or I doing like crazy gymnastics. Yeah, that's really surprising. I still think Batwoman would be more agile than Moon Knight because I think with her agility she already has, plus the bat training and everything else, I don't know if it's necessarily one, but I definitely think it's watch.
I think raw talent-wise, she might be a little bit ahead of him as far as that goes, but he also has the super speed. And that will go a long
That's
way
true.
In,
that,
in
is,
that sort of
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
What now, are their sizes, like their heights? And
so Moon Knight, I believe, is about 6'1",
I mean, he was
six,
a heavyweight
two,
boxer.
Yeah, like probably 220 to 240 pounds. Batwoman's about 5'11", 155, 160.
Really tall.
She's tall, solid person. Right, solidly built. Now
you would say neither one is a pushover as far as the physical department goes, but Moon Knight is definitely bigger.
Absolutely. I got a question for you. What's the difference between millions of dollars and billions of dollars?
Billions is a lot more.
It is. That's also the budget that Batwoman has for her stuff versus Moon Knight. So
Why
Moon Knight
does she have so much money?
Well, here's the thing. So she has access to that
friends.
Level of tech. Yeah, she's got very rich friends. She's also, depending on the storyline, possibly related to Bruce Wayne, possibly not, but definitely associated. She's also got access to a lot of the Bat family's tech, weapons, and what have you. And if there's one area of expenditure where Batman may go a little overboard, it's in his vehicles, his Bat equipment, gadgetry, and what have you. This is actually an interesting point because Mark Spector, the character, he was written as someone who was very good at business and became a successful business person in a bunch of different areas and used that money to fund his superhero way and vehicles and what have you. But he wasn't a billionaire. He was a millionaire. So his resources, you know, that the glider is really cool. I'd rather have a jet that the military wishes they have that I can radio in and come in and help me. So I also think at the very least that's a wash.
But could he just set off that electronic
Boom.
Thing?
That's exactly right.
If
she
anyone,
could use the remote control without him EMPing
If there's
it, yes.
any person, any character who has not only proofed themselves against EMPs, but could even redirect it. And Batman's done that too with EMPs. He's that resourceful. And by the way, Batman gives all of his equipment, all the gadgets, he gives that to every member of the Bat family so they have it. It's EMPs. Batman
it's
has that kind of
stolen protection. Materials. That's just it. Yeah. James, you ready
listen,
for your point number two?
I am.
Oh, actually, real quick, you talk about billions and millions. Yeah, if this fight takes place at an ATM, she could probably withdraw more money than he could. But outside of that, all of this gear is extremely impressive. And there's a kind of a law of diminishing returns as far as how much money you put in something, especially if we're talking about arcane items, which you can't put price on that. Sorry, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I said that. Go ahead and say your point number two.
Priceless.
It's priceless arcane items that you find. Yeah,
that's it.
Possible. All right, let me get to my point number two. Let's talk about Moon Knight's weaknesses. He's got two big weaknesses. Now, the first one is the fact that he suffers from this multiple personality disorder. And I don't actually want to talk too much about that because I think that's something we're going to get into our point number threes. But there's another glaring weakness. Moon Knight's big weakness that I think Batwoman would be able to take advantage of is his recklessness, his fighting style. So he's like that bull in a china shop, so to speak, where he has one direction, one speed, that's straightforward. And part of his way of accomplishing a victory is realizing, hey, I'm not going to get out of the way of that bullet. I'm not going to get out of the way of that knife, that bad missile or laser blast coming my way. I'm going to tank it, get hit with it, get damaged with it, but I'll be a little bit closer to you. Now, in mixed martial arts, what happened back in the early days of MMA, you'd have a really good kickboxer versus a boxer who could also kind of wrestle. And the boxer who could wrestle said, you know, I can't compete with the kicks, so what am I going to do? I know what I'll do. I'll eat the kick. I'll let that person kick me in the ribs. I'll take that damage, but I'll grab their kick after it hits me, and that's how I'll initiate that takedown. So that actually is a great way to fight, as long as you can survive that onslaught, that initial strike, whatever's going to be coming your way. Now, there's a character called Taskmaster. We used his person in debate, and Taskmaster's really cool ability is that he can watch anyone's fighting style and duplicate it. Now, he's not super powered, but he can kind of understand how to do it in a human way. So he was watching Moon Knight fight, and he refused to take on Moon Knight's fighting style because he said, if I did, I would die.
Oh.
The fighting style is I take punishment, I get punched in the head, I get messed up horribly, and hopefully I have a little bit left over to overtake the villain. That's not something I'm going to do. I wouldn't live if I did that. Now, how would Batwoman be able to take advantage of that? Now, one of the things Batwoman can do is read people really, really well, read fighting styles. She had an interesting fight with Batgirl in an initial confrontation. Batgirl came at her, didn't land one shot. Three shots from Batwoman because she analyzed how Batwoman moved. Three shots later, Batgirl said, okay, I give up. You know, can we talk about this? That's Batgirl, who's actually a great fighter on her own.
Yes. Moon Knight have magical healing powers.
He has really good endurance, and he has I'll get into my point number three. He has the ability to take a huge amount of damage, leading to the fighting style that James is talking about.
Right. Now, here's the thing. So imagine Moon Knight's facing off against Batwoman. He doesn't know who Batwoman is or what she can do, right?
So they don't know each other.
They don't.
Okay, so it's not like they're familiar.
Correct. They're in completely different universes, dimensions, or what have you, right? So all of a sudden they encounter each other, and Moon Knight's fought supervillains before. So all of a sudden he sees her and says, oh, wow, she's shooting something at me or da-da-da. I don't care. I've taken it before. I'm coming straight forward. Well, that's going to play into Batwoman's gadgetry, her technology, her everything she does. Remember, you don't have to win this fight by killing your opponent. You can subdue them, almost like arrest them if you had to, keep them in a prone position, walk away, you're good to go. So she's got that Python coil. She's got all these different freeze gas, all these different things, the fear toxin, stuff that can immobilize him or stop him. That's what's going to happen. His actual fighting style, to me, is his biggest weakness because he's going to walk straight forward into what Batwoman does, which is move around, analyze what the person's doing, and then take advantage of that and come up with a plan on the spot. So, again, to me, the biggest weakness that Batwoman's going to be able to take advantage of is Moon Knight's fighting style. That's my point number two.
And there's some good stuff being said right here.
Great stuff, thank you.
I mean, for me, good stuff for my points, because half of what you just said, James, sounded really, really good to me. Because when Moon Knight ended up fighting Taskmaster, who can mimic the fighting styles, and Taskmaster said on the record, he said, I don't want that, I would get hit too much. When those two characters actually fought each other and Taskmaster could pick any fighting style in the world to take against Moon Knight, in including great martial artists, characters similar to Batman or Batwoman for that record, Moon Knight destroyed Taskmaster. He defeated him so soundly and so quickly, it was like I maybe got to the second page and then it was done. And Taskmaster was thoroughly defeated in front of him. So a character like Taskmaster, who can like mimic great fighting because he is a great fighter, he doesn't have any superpowers, sounds a little bit like Batwoman right here, relies a little bit on some good weaponry and gear, that's what Taskmaster does, and Moon Knight defeated him very, very soundly, relatively quickly. That's a weird point to be putting on the record, James, because that actually works in my favor. The other thing is, if you have two characters and one's afraid to get hit and the other isn't, the guy who isn't afraid to get hit, Moon Knight, definitely has more opportunities in the combat, because I don't think Batwoman is strong enough to do anything against this very powerful armor, and the fact that he does, in fact, have a low-level healing factor. I went back and rechecked that since you asked about it. He can manipulate his chi inside of him. Chi, thank you, God. He can manipulate his chi to increase his own ability to heal. So it's not like Wolverine or Deadpool where he can just get an arm chopped off and regrow it, but he does have the ability to focus on an area and heal it quickly on top of his super endurance and strength and speed and everything else.
Now, if Batwoman got hit, she'd be out. Like
She's a human being.
She's a human being. Now, here's the deal. She is known for insane durability. It's not superhuman. So let's say a regular human could take two shots from Moon Knight. I'm sure she could take four, five, maybe even six, but probably not a whole lot more.
To get to six, we're well done with the fight at that point.
Yeah, she's not remembering math or what day it is. You know what I mean? It'll be bad for her.
And to that record, so if they're just trading blows and they're each getting a normal number of shots in, Moon Knight wins in a stomp.
Right, which is what Batwoman never does.
She will try to avoid that at all possible.
Absolutely.
It might not be possible, that's all.
Absolutely.
But that's going to take us to our turning point.
We're now at our turning point. So now, Kylie, here's the deal. The turning point is where you decide, based off the argument so far, who's ahead in this battle, and what does the other character have to do to pull out the victory?
So I really want to give it to Batwoman, because, again, I love everything she stands for. But I think at the moment, Moon Knight has it. Just because speed-wise, they both have equal amounts of speed, it sounds like. Because I would say she can throw the coil around him. But he sounds like he could outmaneuver that.
He's very, very fast, yes.
Yeah. And then it seems like they can just avoid each other. So it would be ultimately an endurance battle. So I'm wondering who has the most just endurance to last the longest.
Mm. And to what Great you point. Said, you think Moon Knight's ahead because the endurance, he does have better endurance than Batwoman. He can take much more punishment than she can.
All right, this is interesting. Okay, so Batwoman's a little behind. I think I have a good point to get her ahead. But Ray, your argument so far, I got to tell you, my hat is off to you. This is good. This is real good.
It's real hard
I wasn't
far.
Expecting
yeah.
this. So, okay, hit us with your point number three.
Point number three, and I just have a couple of things I want to talk about. First off, his multiple personality disorder. Now, you bring it up as a weakness. I think having a little crazy inside you during a battle is to your benefit. 100% to your benefit to have that on your side. He has three distinct personalities that he goes between. Four, actually, if you count the character of Moon Knight himself, who he sort of like rolls out as his own separate person, sort of like Bruce Wayne and Batman are two different people. Moon Knight is his own distinct, occasionally very violent personality. But Mark Spector is his actual name, and that's sort of who he is as the CIA agent, the soldier. He also has the character of Stephen Grant, who he just becomes this character, who is a Bruce Wayne multimillionaire playboy about town character that he, whenever he needs to be that person, he just is that person.
He has control over it? Because it feels like
it's
you
not,
have...
Yeah, okay. No, the thing is, and then I'll get to that in one sec, the other character is Jake Lockley, who's a New York cabbie. Who's a street smart, kind of tough as nails cab driver, and that's how he can collect information and what have you. And the thing is, he doesn't really have control over which one. Whichever character might be best for a specific situation, he will become that character. So to answer your question about the fear gas that I've been not answering, is if he gets hit with the fear gas, there's no doubt in my mind that Moon Knight could absolutely immediately become a personality who can deal with that fear gas, and okay. a character who doesn't feel fear, or a character who can fight through the fear. And so this is the kind of thing that happens is he'll just be right after a fight's over. He'll be like, I need to be this person now. And he just is that person.
Wait, so he has a little bit of control if he can, like...
Well, it's more suddenly... of like it's a natural thing that happens.
But it's also convenient that his personalities are... It's not like one's a four-year-old girl.
Oh, 100%. No. I'm not going to say right now.
I think you need to apply to Marvel Comics because I'd like to see that comic book. That would be fantastic.
But in addition to all that, he had personalities, I believe, where he was like Wolverine, or he just had a personality that
They're
was
all, like badass,
Captain America.
Like,
yeah.
Multiple personalities.
Now I'm Wolverine.
It's like it's a lizard brain kind of thing. Like, we don't control our breathing. It just happens. So I think
I respect
the character. If when need be, if this, you know, there's that inner thing that happens, our lizard brain, where if one personality is not working the way we need it to for survival,
he switches to the next thing,
the body just switches over to what is going to be there to help it.
Yeah. And so on top of that, and, you know, he has a certain insanity, a certain craziness about him. And that's why he doesn't have a problem with, he's been stabbed with a knife in the chest. He's been shot. He's been punched repeatedly, like a guy got on top of him and punched him 10 times in the face. And he just calmly turned and, like, used the remote control device he needed to blow the thing up that he needed to blow up inside the place where they were fighting, thus shoving them both out, you know, through the window. He has the ability to ignore pain. I don't think Batwoman has that same ability. So when you talk about the endurance and you talk about them trading blows, he's taking damage. He isn't showing the results of it. Members of the Bat family, Batwoman, etc., they feel it when they get hit and they have to adjust themselves accordingly, but it does lessen their ability to fight. Moon Knight has taken grievous injuries and continued to fight normally and not really worried about it until after the fight was over. A couple other things I want to bring up is a couple of the fights that he's won. We talk about some of the superheroes that he has defeated. He beat Taskmaster, as I said before, very, very quickly. He defeated Deadpool on a number of occasions, and Deadpool is a character who has a high-level healing factor, as well as the ninja skills and the weapons and what have you. He's defeated Deadpool multiple times. He defeated a character named Bushman, who is sort of like the guy who killed him in the first place to get him into the situation that he's in with the Egyptian god. Bushman is just a big superpowered character. He actually shoved him so a light machine gun went through his chest, and Bushman, being the super character that he is, shot the light machine gun, and Moon Knight had to get up close and defeat him while he's being shot at by a very high caliber light machine gun. Very, very cool scene. The other characters he defeated, the Punisher, fought the Punisher, and the Punisher greatly respected his ability to kind of go for it, because not many people will go for it the way the Punisher will go for it. And then he beat Black Cat, who's another type of Batwoman character, where she's like a stealthy ninja, martial arts kind of character. He beat her in less than one page. these are the kind of kids. When he fights somebody like Batwoman, he tends to win those fights. And when he fights people who are maybe superpowered, that's when he's going to start having his difficulties. But he never really seems to have a ton of trouble fighting non-superpowered characters. And that is my point number three.
The styles are what's going to make or break this fight, because Moon Knight, you know, you see Batman and Batwoman, it's mostly black, right? And that's a lot to do with stealth and, you know, hiding in the shadows at night, what have you. Moon Knight dresses all in white.
Correct.
By design.
Because he wants people to see him coming.
Yeah, he wants to instill fear in people, but in a straightforward, here I come, you can't stop me, I'm a rhinoceros type of thing, whereas Batwoman's more of a, you know, I'll use this weapon of fear the way I need to. For example, the fear gas won't be used all the time. She'll say, I'm going to wait for the right time to use it. So,
Does it make a difference if this battle is in the daytime or the night?
I don't think it would.
I don't think it would either.
I think they both would be on the same level for both. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, you know, Moon Knight's supposed to be like a night.
He is a lunar. To be fair, Moon Knight, in previous incarnations of Moon Knight, and not the one I'm leaning on as much, he got more powerful based on the phases of the moon. So if you had a full moon, he was at like full capacity strength. They don't really do that anymore, so I haven't really talked about it a ton. But he is Moon Knight. He is a lunar-based character. But I have to say, both have an advantage at night, and both have the same disadvantage during the day. I don't think that there's
a big difference. Battle is set up so that they both have everything they need at their ultimate forms and ultimate environment that favors both of them. Okay, again, I can't really argue with a lot of what you just said in your point number three, but I will say one thing. I don't really think Moon Knight's fought someone like Batwoman. Batwoman's very, very different from your non-powered superhero. In fact, she's even really different from anyone from the Bat family. There's a character called Jason Todd. He's now known as the Red Hood. He was the second Robin, who is like this kind of degenerate kid that Batman took in. People couldn't stand him, so actually in the 80s, remember, they had a vote to see whether or not he should die off, and they thought, oh, it would just bring popular character. Well, unfortunately, they voted to kill him, so the Joker killed him.
And this was pre-internet.
This is pre-internet.
People wrote in saying, kill this guy. People are terrible, James.
Oh, it's even worse because they think it was one person who put in like a whole bunch of votes.
Even worse.
And he's considered like the badass anti-hero of the Batman family. And even the Red Hood defers to Batwoman as the tactician of the group. Not Batman, not Alfred, not Batgirl. It's Batwoman is the tactician. Hey, we need a great plan. Batman's like, hey, I've got this. He's like, Batwoman, please go ahead. What's on your mind? Tell us how to win this battle. She understands tactics really, really well.
But we don't have time for tactics.
Well, tactics is something she comes up with. Tactics are something she comes up with like on the fly. So now, this is brawn versus, well played, actually. This is brawn versus finesse, right? Now, brawn, in terms of fighting styles, Moon Knight would be like the equivalent to like a two-handed Viking heavy broadsword, right? Where he's just coming at, like, that's the kind of like brunt weapon he would be, maybe a battle axe or something like that, too. Whereas Batwoman is a sniper rifle. She'll find the right place, right spots to hit, and she'll do it in such a way that are really, really brutal. Her art form, her fighting style, to mix like a Japanese term with an English term, would be brutality do, right? The way of brutality. Moon Knight fights like a possessed maniac because, again, he's a possessed maniac. That's actually what he is. Batman, on the other hand, Batman is a highly trained soldier with additional training mirroring that of Batman on top of everything. She knows 14 different martial arts styles, has great knowledge of the occult. She'll be able to handle like the magical background of Moon Knight, has fought mystical beings, is able to read an opponent and adapt super fast to the fighting style of whomever she's fighting. She has a master level of accuracy, so she's a master marksperson, has taken down many superpowered opponents with only her fighting skills, not even using her gadgetry, and has even beaten Batman a number of times. Okay, so in talking about like who do you want to kind of say what's my accomplishment? I've beaten Batman a few times. In fact, she's so good at martial arts that Batman, while watching her from afar, said, "I don't even know what that move was she just did. Oh, I know why, because she created it." Batman knows 127 different styles of martial arts, as ridiculous as that is. So for him to not even understand what has just been done is really saying a lot to Batwoman. Moon Knight is absolutely brutal. But again, he's a brutal in a way of like a rhinoceros running over someone. Batwoman uses brutality as an art form, the same way like an artist would use a paintbrush. This is really kind of creepy what I'm about to say, but it has to be said. She picks her target on her opponent and strikes it in such a way to maximize pain, immobility, and anguish. For example, she expertly put a batarang into the eye of a superpowered opponent and then blew up half of his face, all in order to send a message. okay? When fighting Mr. Freeze, this is someone who now has to wear, like, armor that keeps him super cold. And he's also super strong, and his armor is super protective. She kicks an ice spike through his leg to get him to comply to her orders because she was telling him what to do. Batman turns to her and says, you know what? This is, I don't approve of this level of brutality. So she's even more artistically brutal than Batman would want for himself. Batwoman has used her brutality to take out super strong, super powerful opponents. Why? Because she doesn't trade blow for blow or fight, you know, the way that, that her opponents want to. Instead, she maneuvers them into whatever position she needs them to be in without them even knowing that's happening, and then takes them out with the utmost skill and brutality. The way I see this fight going is that Moon Knight will come full blast at Batwoman in a very direct manner. She'll use her gymnastic ability and batarangs and bat-related tech to keep her out of trouble, all while planting explosives on Moon Knight's body without him noticing it. This is something the Bat family does, is stealth. While they're fighting and da-da-da, you know, they'll get around, plant bombs all over the body, and they're like, hi, finally, you know, you're staying on my way. And she's like, yeah, boom, and then she detonates everything. When the explosives go off, she'll use a temporary distraction to ensnare him in a bat cable or that python coil, freeze him, and use knockout gas on him all in rapid succession. While she may take some shots, you know, absolutely she will, she'll still be able to have an ability to take advantage of Moon Knight's reckless fighting style and use it to her advantage. So, with Batwoman's tech and gadgets, her training as both an elite soldier and her years of combat training mirroring Batman's, artistic use of brutality in a fight, and her ability to take advantage of Moon Knight's straightforward fighting style, it's not hard to see why Batwoman wins this fight. That's my point number three.
I really like the bombs placing.
It's technique. Really cool. Yeah, I like that. I don't think there's any chance in the world that it would happen for a variety of reasons. One, I don't think that she's necessarily fast enough compared to a super speedy kind of martial artist character who can match her as far as combat goes. I don't know that she's going to, like, Moon Knight goes through the crowd and he strikes specific nerves on people while he's fighting them. And I have a very specific example of him doing that. So I don't think a guy who's capable of that is going to have a bunch of bombs planted on him without him knowing. And if he does notice even one of these bombs being planted on him, he's going to use his EMP device and knock them out. So I don't think that that's necessarily the way to go. You're trying to say Moon Knight is like a berserker, like a two-handed, that's a little strong. He is a very finessey kind of a character. He's just sloppy as far as the fights go because he doesn't care if he gets hit as long as he gets the hit in himself. He won't just take hits for no good reason. He'll take them to do more punishment with his super strength that, again, if we're trading one blow for one blow, Moon Knight's going to have that battle. Now, the way I see it going is they will try to fight up close, and Moon Knight will quickly overpower Batwoman. Using whatever gear, using whatever fights they have, he just is faster, he just is stronger, and they have an equal amount of training behind them as far as combat goes. She'll realize that, and she'll try to get away from him. He might not defeat her right away, but she definitely will not want it to continue that way as far as the fight goes. The problem is the traversal, is that he can follow up with the grappling hooks and with the ability to sling himself through the city with the crescents. She can't get away from him, is I guess my entire point. He is just as fast, if not faster than her, and has every piece of traversal as well, not to mention the remote-controlled angel wing up in the air that he can use if she does manage to get away, to, if nothing else, force her into a position that she does not want to be in. If she gets the perfect sniping position, angel wing blows out that area, she's got to leave it, or get killed right there, and that's when Moon Knight can jump and absolutely take her down. So the way I see it is, they fight up close, he gets over on her, she tries to get away, he doesn't let her get away, he tracks her down, he takes her down, he takes some shots along the way for sure, but not enough to actually damage him. That's how I see this fight going. But I think it's time we get to where we need to go, James.
All right, so Kylie, you've heard both sides of this story, you know, this battle. We both made some pretty good points.
This has been a very, very hard battle, even just for me sitting here. This has been very, very rough both ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. So take us through your process. Tell us who you think has won this battle and why.
I really want to give it to Batwoman. I wanted to from the beginning. I like her personality. I like her brutality. But it just seems that Moon Knight has maybe more than a slight advantage. I'm impressed by the multiple personalities. That would be a very powerful thing if you had control over it. So I think that's a big advantage in battle. And if he's faster, because it's kind of like a David and Goliath, except Goliath has speed. So that is why I feel like Moon Knight has the advantage.
Oh my goodness. I was hoping that's the way you would go. When you said initially off the bat that I want Batwoman to win this battle, I went, Well, crap. But I'm glad to see that you are a judge of taste. You are a judge of knowledge, of obviously great learning, and you were able to bring down the correct decision here. Thank you. And I will just say for all the Who Would Win fans out there, or Who Would Winners, as I call them, thank you. Thank
you, for making the right decision. Clearly, Ray doesn't win a lot of these battles. So he's, I mean, you can tell. Actually, what I'm impressed with by you the most is the fact that you definitely started off with one side that you favored, but you didn't allow that to paint your judgment. And you said, okay, I've still got to kind of take both sides in. This is what makes you really a great judge. Because everyone has their favorites or favors one character over the other. But sometimes, you know, people won't stick to being very objective about this. I think you did fairly correct. Do that.
And I appreciate that, and that you brought a fair mind to this battle. Many times we'll be doing these battles, and it will be clear the judge kind of prefers one character to another. So now it's like I'm arguing with the judge, but you were open to the information, and I appreciate that.
It was very fun learning about these characters.
Right.
I knew nothing about them.
Well, that's cool. All right, so awesome job as being a judge. We'd love to have you back sometimes. You have a good time?
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. So,
are you like shaking? Like, is it nerve wracking?
Yeah, like, I don't know how I'm going to walk out of here.
Well, real quick, hashtag Ray is right. Hashtag winning streak. Hashtag Moon Knight. Hashtag go get him, Ray. That's the new 2020 hashtag, James. Go get him, Ray.
Hashtag Ray needs attention. Hashtag Ray is a sad man. With that being said, again, thank you for coming on the show. You are absolutely fantastic. Please tell everyone where they can find you.
So you could find me just on my website, KylaYu.com. But I also launched a new podcast with my business partner, Kiki. It's called From Hell to Wellness, and it's all about how we journeyed from drug-addicted rock stars to a life of wellness and rich sobriety.
That's great, though, because it shows that it's anybody can do it.
Yes.
Really. Like, if it takes somebody who comes from that rock and roll lifestyle and you're able to achieve wellness, gosh willing, there's hope for me, James.
One day.
It won't be today or tomorrow, but someday, maybe.
When does the rock and roll lifestyle start for you?
Oh, it never ended. But it's really just more of lie on the couch and
so it's more of a McDonald's Burger King lifestyle.
It's more like a McDonald's Fallout 4 lifestyle. Yeah, that's the one I like to live.
Fair enough. You know, it's just funny. It doesn't seem as glamorous as Kayla's.
I would argue that it is not.
Okay, good. All right. Ray, please tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Almighty Ray.
By the way, all joking aside, Ray Scott actually has some fans. Yeah, they like three of them.
What, and why is that a surprise?
It's
a quality, not quantity.
Thank you.
I'm going to disagree.
I have better fans.
You know, what about that major social media influencer who has those three great fans? It doesn't quite.
But the influence they have over those three people is unique.
That's how you start a cult, right?
I'm trying.
That's why you started.
I'm trying.
All right, you can find me posing my patented question of the day at James Gavsey on Twitter. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram at WhoWouldWin_show and check out the Who Would Win website at www.whowouldwinshow.com to access all of our podcast episodes. On behalf of myself, Ray Stikanis, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win team, thank you once again for listening to another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.